A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
$500 billion. That's the opening commitment on a project that is, on paper, a private company. Daniel's prompt today is about Stargate, and the question underneath it's deceptively simple. Why does the United States treat frontier AI as a national security issue at all? What's it about a Chinese model catching up that keeps people in Washington awake at night? And then the second question, the one that makes this messy. President Trump announced Stargate from the White House. The administration cleared regulatory hurdles for it, and it sits at the center of the official AI strategy. But it's structured as an LLC, with OpenAI, Oracle, SoftBank, and the Emirati Sovereign Fund MGX as the players. So is this an arm of American national policy, or is it a private venture wearing a presidential cloak? Those are two different questions, and the answer to the second one changes how you read the first.
And the timing matters. Stargate is training GPT-6 Astra on American soil right now, which means the infrastructure question Daniel's asking about isn't hypothetical. The model that's supposed to keep the US ahead is running on hardware that sits inside a corporate structure with foreign money in it.
So let's start with what Stargate actually is, because the structure tells us a lot about the strategy. Announced January 2025. Initial commitment of $500 billion over 4 years, with $100 billion deployed immediately. The consortium is OpenAI, Oracle, SoftBank, and MGX. MGX is the one that raises eyebrows, because it's the UAE's sovereign wealth fund, and the UAE has its own complicated relationship with Beijing.
Right. And the White House's America's AI Action Plan, which came out in July of 2025, frames AI explicitly as a national security and economic imperative. That's the language. Not a promising industry, not a competitive sector. A national security imperative. The document positions the U.S. in a race against China for global AI dominance, and Stargate is the physical manifestation of that race. Data centers, power infrastructure, chip supply, the whole stack on American soil.
So the central puzzle is sitting right there in the first paragraph. It's a private LLC, but it was announced from the White House, it got regulatory easing, and it's central to strategic ambitions. Policy or profit? And the answer, I suspect, is that the ambiguity is the point.
That's the thing to hold on to. But before we can answer who's running it, we have to answer why the race matters at all. Because if the why weren't serious, nobody would care about the who.
Fair. So walk me through the strategic logic. Why does losing the AI race to China scare the US enough to justify this kind of project?
Start with Graham Allison. He's the Harvard political scientist who wrote about the Thucydides trap, the idea that when a rising power threatens to displace a ruling power, the historical pattern is often war. His foreign policy analysis applied that framework directly to the U.S.-China AI race. The fear isn't that China builds a better chatbot. The fear is that AI is the kind of general-purpose technology that shifts the balance of power across every domain at once. Military, economic, technological. If one side gets an insurmountable edge, the other side is no longer making policy from a position of strength.
And Allison's point is that the perception of the gap matters as much as the gap itself. If Beijing believes the US is pulling ahead irreversibly, that's destabilizing. If Washington believes China is about to overtake, same thing. The race itself creates the risk.
And the military dimension is where this stops being abstract. AI isn't just commercial software, it underpins autonomous systems, intelligence analysis, cyber warfare, decision-making speed. The US military is increasingly reliant on commercial frontier models. OpenAI has partnerships with defense agencies, so a Chinese lead in frontier AI doesn't stay in the commercial sphere. It translates into a strategic disadvantage in things like sensor fusion, targeting, logistics optimization.
So the Pentagon is effectively renting its cognitive advantage from private companies, which means the private companies become strategic assets whether they like it or not.
And that's the part that makes Stargate's structure so interesting. But hold that thought. The economic stakes are enormous too. AI is projected to add trillions to global GDP. The US wants to set the standards and norms for how AI gets developed and deployed. If you're the leader, you write the rules. If China's the leader, Beijing writes them. And the two countries have very different ideas about what those rules should look like.
So it's not just about having the best model. It's about having the best model while the regulatory and technical standards are still being written. The first mover gets to define what safe means, what open means, what aligned means.
Right. And then there's the hardware lever. NVIDIA export controls. The US restricts advanced chips, the H100, the A100, from going to China. The goal is to slow China's AI progress by denying them the compute. But that's a double-edged sword. It pushes China toward self-sufficiency. They accelerate their own domestic chip programs, and the global tech ecosystem starts to fragment into two spheres.
So the export controls are a tourniquet. They slow the bleeding, but they also guarantee the limb dies if you leave it on too long. China doesn't just sit there being denied. They build their own fabs, their own designs, and eventually they don't need NVIDIA at all.
And that's the part most coverage gets wrong. The export controls are treated as a simple win for the US. But the knock-on effect is that you're forcing the creation of a parallel supply chain. Once that exists, it's not going away. You bifurcated the world's technology base permanently.
So the strategic logic is layered. Military advantage, economic leverage, standard setting, technological independence. And Alison Thucydides' framing says, great power competition over technology often leads to conflict if one side perceives the other as gaining an insurmountable edge. The US is acting preemptively, trying to build that edge before China can.
And that's the why. The US views AI superiority as a national security concern because it touches everything. It's not a single weapon system. It's the substrate that future weapon systems, future economies, future intelligence capabilities all run on. Losing the lead in the substrate is losing the lead in everything that gets built on top of it.
Which brings us back to Stargate. If the stakes are that high, why is the flagship project a private LLC with foreign sovereign money in it? Shouldn't this be a Manhattan project?
That's the exact question. And the comparison to the Manhattan Project is instructive precisely because it's the wrong analogy. The Manhattan Project was fully state-funded, fully state-controlled, and secret. Stargate is the opposite. It's private capital, private leadership, and it was announced on a stage with cameras. The US government can't match private capital anymore. The scale of investment required for frontier AI is so large that the federal government simply doesn't have the fiscal or political capacity to do it alone. So it co-opts the private sector instead.
Industrial policy by other means. The state enabling rather than owning. The government's fingerprints are everywhere, but their fingerprints on a steering wheel it doesn't hold.
Look at what the administration actually did. Trump announced it from the White House. The administration eased environmental reviews, fast-tracked energy grid access. That's not writing a check. That's using regulatory power as a subsidy. The government is paying for Stargate not with money, but with permission.
Permission is cheaper than money, but it's also less accountable. If Congress appropriated $500 billion, there'd be hearings, oversight, inspectors general. If the president just waives the environmental review, there's a press release and a ribbon cutting.
That's exactly the tension Daniel's asking about. Is this policy or profit? The answer is that it's both, and the ambiguity is doing work for everyone involved. The private sector gets speed, innovation, and the legitimacy of the state. The state gets the capability without the cost or the political risk of owning it.
But then there's MGX, the Emirati Sovereign Fund. That's the part that makes the national policy framing wobble. If Stargate is an expression of American strategic intent, why is a foreign state's money in the room?
The UAE isn't just any foreign state. They have deep economic ties to China, they've hosted Huawei infrastructure, they've been a kind of neutral ground where Chinese and Western tech interests overlap. So, the question is whether the US is comfortable sharing frontier AI infrastructure with an ally that has its own channels to Beijing.
The F-35 deal with the UAE fell apart over concerns about Huawei 5G towers. That was a $23 billion fighter jet sale. And the U.S. walked away because it didn't want advanced military technology sitting next to Chinese communications infrastructure. Now we're putting the UAE's sovereign fund inside the project that's supposed to secure American AI dominance. The consistency isn't obvious.
To be fair, there are arguments for MGX's involvement. Capital is capital. The UAE is a U.S. ally in the Gulf. They're not an adversary, and the alternative, excluding them, might push them further toward Beijing. There's a diplomatic logic to keeping them inside the tent.
Sure, but the tent is supposed to be a national security project. The optics of a sovereign fund with China ties holding a stake in your strategic AI infrastructure aren't great, and it raises the technology transfer question directly. What does MGX get access to? What do their engineers see? What flows back to Abu Dhabi? And from there, where does it go?
Those questions don't have public answers, and that's part of the problem. Stargate is a private company. Its contracts, its governance, its information-sharing arrangements aren't subject to the same disclosure as a government program. So we're asked to trust that the national security interests are being protected, but we can't see the mechanisms.
Which is where the hybrid nature gets uncomfortable. The U.S. gets the speed and innovation of the private sector. The private sector gets the protection and legitimacy of the state. But when those interests diverge, who wins?
Give me a concrete divergence.
OpenAI wants to sell to China. Or more realistically, OpenAI wants to sell to a market that includes Chinese customers or Chinese adjacent customers. The commercial incentive is to expand. The national security incentive is to restrict. If OpenAI's board is looking at a $1 billion contract that the Pentagon doesn't want signed, whose interest prevails?
Or the safety question. Profit motive leads to cutting corners on safety. The commercial pressure to ship faster, to spend less on alignment research, to deploy before the model is fully understood. The national security interest is in not deploying a model that could be weaponized or could fail catastrophically. Those two incentives point in different directions.
There's no reverie. That's the thing. In the Manhattan Project, the government was the customer, the owner, and the regulator. In Stargate, the government is a cheerleader with some permitting authority. It doesn't sit on the board. It doesn't have veto power over commercial decisions. It has leverage, but leverage isn't control.
The AI Action Plan's language on public-private partnerships is revealing. It talks about enabling, accelerating, partnering. It never talks about directing. The government has positioned itself as a facilitator, not a commander, and that's a choice. It reflects a view that the private sector is better at this, and that heavy government involvement would slow things down.
Speed versus control. That's the trade. The U.S. is betting that it can move faster than China by letting private companies run the race, with the government clearing the track. The risk is that the private companies run in whatever direction is most profitable, not whatever direction is most strategic.
There's a historical echo here. The Transcontinental Railroad. Private capital, government land grants, and subsidies. The government didn't build the railroad, but it made the railroad possible, and the railroad served national goals, connecting the coasts, enabling westward expansion. But the railroad companies also engaged in spectacular corruption, cut corners, and enriched their owners. The public purpose and the private profit coexisted uneasily.
Stargate is a railroad with GPUs. The government is giving out land grants in the form of regulatory waivers and energy access, and the private companies are building the infrastructure. The question is whether the national purpose survives contact with the profit motive.
That's the thing about the hybrid. It's not a bug. It's the design. The ambiguity is intentional. The U.S. gets to say it's a private sector success story when it works, and a private sector failure when it doesn't. The companies get to say they're serving the national interest when they want regulatory help, and that they're independent businesses when they want to make commercial decisions. Everyone gets to have it both ways.
Until the moment when the two ways diverge and someone has to choose. And that's the open question. What happens when OpenAI's commercial interest and the U.S. national security interest point in opposite directions? Who wins? We don't know, because the structure is designed to avoid having to answer that question until it's too late.
The MGX piece makes that question even sharper, because if a foreign sovereign fund is inside the tent, then national security is already a negotiated concept. It's not absolute. It's been diluted by the need for capital and diplomatic relationships. The U.S. isn't protecting a pure national asset, it's protecting a multinational consortium that happens to be headquartered on American soil.
The bottom line on Daniel's question: is Stargate an expression of U.S. national policy or a private effort? It's a hybrid, private in form, public in function. The government doesn't own it, doesn't direct it, but it enables it, legitimizes it, and depends on it. And the ambiguity isn't an accident, it's the mechanism.
That mechanism is going to become more common. As the AI race accelerates, expect more such hybrids. More projects where the line between state and capital is deliberately blurred. Because the state can't afford to do it alone, and the private sector doesn't want to do it without the state's protection.
The real question isn't whether Stargate is public or private. It's whether the U.S. can have its cake and eat it too, and what happens when the cake runs out.
You're all treating this like it's new. I've seen this movie. In 1998, I was in a room where a general told us, "You're not a company, you're a delivery mechanism for policy." I was a liaison for a defense contractor on a joint U.S.-Israel missile defense project. The structure was private. We had our own letterhead, our own payroll, our own shareholders, but the government could pull the plug by revoking a single export license. One piece of paper. That was the leash. They didn't need to own us. They just needed to control the choke point.
The export license as the leash. That's exactly the mechanism I was reaching for. The government doesn't need board seats when it controls the permits that make the whole thing legal.
We had clauses in our contracts that never saw the light of day. If the State Department revoked the license, the whole thing unwound in 30 days. The investors knew it, the engineers knew it, nobody talked about it. It was just the price of doing business in that world.
The question is whether Stargate has the same clauses, and we wouldn't know because it's an LLC. The contracts aren't public.
I'd bet they're in there, somewhere. A provision about export controls, or energy access, or the classification of the model weights. Something that lets the government turn it off if it has to. They don't write these things without an off switch.
The off switch is the part that makes it policy rather than pure commerce. A private company that can be switched off by the state isn't fully private. It's contingent.
The leash is the policy. The ownership is the theater.
The general used to say the private structure was a feature, not a bug. If the project failed, it was a corporate failure. If it succeeded, the government took the credit. He called it deniable capability. We all knew what he meant.
Deniable capability. That's the phrase for it. The state gets the strategic benefit without the political exposure. If Stargate produces a world-beating model, the administration celebrates an American achievement. If it collapses, it was a private venture that didn't work out.
The UAE money makes the deniability even more convenient. If there's blowback about foreign influence, the administration can say it's a private consortium, not a government program. The LLC structure is the shield.
The general would have loved that. He was always looking for ways to get things done without having to ask Congress. The private route was his favorite. He called it procurement by handshake.
Trump announces it, the permits get fast-tracked, the energy access gets cleared. That's not a handshake, that's a bear hug.
The bear hug has no oversight. That's the part that sticks with me. The Manhattan Project had congressional appropriations, which meant some level of accountability. Stargate has a press conference and a waiving of environmental reviews. The accountability is thinner.
In 98, we had a government contracting officer on site. He read every invoice. He was boring and he was thorough. I don't know if Stargate has that guy. I doubt it.
That's a real question. Who's minding the store? Who's checking that the national security interest is actually being served, and not just the commercial interest with a flag wrapped around it?
If the answer is nobody in particular, then the hybrid isn't a strategy. It's a hope. The hope that private incentives and public interests will align on their own.
They align until they don't. That's what the general understood. The leash wasn't for when things went well. It was for when they went wrong.
The leash only works if someone's holding it. The question for Stargate is whether the government has a firm grip, or whether it's just standing nearby, hoping the dog doesn't run into traffic.
Where does that leave us? The strategic logic is real. The military, economic, and standard-setting stakes are enormous. The U.S. is in a race with China for AI dominance. but the mechanism for running that race is a private consortium with foreign money and thin accountability. The hybrid works until it doesn't, and we won't know which it's until the first real divergence between profit and security.
The divergence is coming. It's not a hypothetical. At some point, OpenAI or Oracle or SoftBank is going to want something that the national security apparatus doesn't want them to have. A market, a partnership, a deployment. And the structure of Stargate means that conflict will be resolved behind closed doors. In a boardroom, not in a hearing room. That's the real cost of the hybrid, not the money. The opacity.
The question isn't whether Stargate is public or private. It's whether the U.S. can have its cake and eat it too. And what happens when the cake runs out? And I don't think we know the answer yet. But we're going to find out.
Finding out is going to be expensive either way. If the hybrid holds, we get speed and capability. If it breaks, we get a strategic asset that answers to no one in particular. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumentop, for keeping the show running. This has been My Weird Prompts. If you want to send us your own questions, email us at show@myweirdprompts.com. We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from law. Time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.